Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 9th of August, recording at 9:48 p.m. Now, let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. In the Asian stock markets, we had mostly modest gains, although three of the stronger performances came from South Korea, Japan, and the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, all up over 1%, and the China A-Share Index, although the gain was relatively modest, it moved upwards for the fifth consecutive day, and it's been a while since we've seen that, for sure. European stock markets were mostly, well, they seesawed a little bit, but closed with mostly small gains, and everything under 1%, though, and mostly well under 1%. Same with Wall Street, which seesawed a little bit. The S&P closing a tiny fraction higher at 1402.8. NASDAQ slightly firmer than that. Long-dated government bond prices continued to ease, so yields edging higher. And this has been a persistent move, and not before time, given the rally in bond prices that we'd seen from last March onwards. U.S. dollar index is a little bit firmer, but that's mostly against the euro, which has slipped back to 123.03. The Aussie's firm, and the Asian dollar index is firm. The price of gold and other precious metals, they seesawed a little bit as well. Most markets did today. Gold closing out a little bit higher as I speak. It's at 1617 and after hours trading. That's and a quarter. That's up over $5. And silver's just up a couple of cents, 28 to 10. And platinum $3 and change higher at $14.30 and 50 cents, $14.13 rather and 50 cents. Crude oil, this was interesting and a bit of a concern. The WTI is not the problem, although that's risen 93.44, but the Brent is up to $113 and change, and that's only $15 below the high that we saw in early March of last year. Grains and beans, this is also a concern. Big move to the upside in soybeans. I believe that's a limit up move. And corn and wheat were also firm as well. Just stop the headset here for a moment and have a quick cough. Excuse me. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets have been very firm here once again. And they've been very firm. Actually, it's, I would say, they've been steady in a ranging recovery since early June, but they have been more persistent recently, and in terms of those edging out those gains over consecutive days for a number of markets. And that's created short-term overbought conditions, but we haven't seen anything in the way of downward dynamics to check these moves. So it's been quite impressive, and it's also occurring at a time, as you will recall, where a lot of investors were fearing that we might have a deja vu situation all over again, to quote Yogi, and where you'll remember last year we had the big sell-off in August and carrying into September, and ditto in 2010, although not 2009. But here we are on the end, at the end of the trading day on the 9th of August, and stock markets are doing really rather well. So no repeat of that move, at least not so far. And the most interesting thing that's going on is that we have that S&P back above 1400. That's not far off most people's optimistic forecasts for the year. And, well, their pessimistic forecasts, pick a number on the downside. So that's a steady action overall. One reason for that, I think that we can point to, or that I will point to, is an article in the Wall Street Journal today talking about how much money S&P 500 companies are going to pay out in dividends this year. And the estimate is around $275 billion. Now, that's the biggest total in history, at least in nominal terms. So that's one reason why stock markets aren't doing badly, especially against that background of such a poor return in Western long-dated government bonds. Now, there's a lot of hope in the equity, among equity investors, that we're going to see more stimulative measures from the China-led growth economies. And there's also hopes of a QE3, or is it QE4? There's so many of them we can't remember from the U.S. And that would probably be something that we could take for granted. But watch that oil price that's pushing higher. That is definitely a concern. I don't think that oil price move is justified. I'm talking now specifically about the Brent. I don't think that is caused by a sudden surge in demand. Somebody's obviously buying. I think it's hedging, and I think it might well be pension fund buying. Definitely speculative buying, in my opinion. And commodity markets have been no strangers to that over the last 5-6 years or more. And that may be over a growing feeling among the buyers that we are going to see a military strike against Iran's nuclear installations at some point before year end. We'll see. But the problem is that as that oil price moves up, that will revive, it'll be a headwind for the global economy again, that will revive inflationary pressures and concerns, not least in the Asian countries. Now, fortunately for the U.S. at any rate, that's being offset by a soft natural gas price, which is back under $3, but prices for natural gas are considerably higher elsewhere, at least twice as high in Europe, for instance, and in Asia. Okay, now these long-dated government bond prices, this move is persistent to the downside. It has only given up, maybe a fifth of the gains that we saw from the March lows. But at a time when there was quite a lot of complacency among bond bulls, we are seeing this pullback occur. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if it carried further here. And more importantly, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we hadn't seen a significant peak last month or in June, whichever of those peaks in the bond prices was higher. Now, precious metals, steady action overall. It still looks to me as if gold is in a support building phase. You can see that by the rising lows, albeit within a trading range, gradually rising lows. We're beginning to see that in silver as well. And platinum is steadied here. There's an interesting article which I posted today from the Wall Street Journal, which is talking about the number of hedge funds that have built up short positions, evidently over a third of the open interest in platinum, and I'm assuming that most of that will be in the October contract, is accounted for by short positions. And the reason for doing that, according to the article, is that they want to have bearish positions in Europe, yet they're a little afraid of the euro because so many people are short the euro. And so they've shorted platinum because that is used heavily in catalytic converters, of which Europe represents about 20% of the market. Well, not such a bad idea a few months ago when the precious metals were all moving lower in their cyclical corrective phase, but I would certainly question the logic of these trades right now, and the fact that that article's been aired is going to tempt a lot of speculators to take the other side of the trade, because platinum, as you might know, and as you can see in the library, and I posted the chart again today, it's at its lowest level relative to gold that we have seen since, for at least 25 years. And we now have an explanation for that difference, although I also mentioned earlier in the week that obviously platinum does not have the monetary history that gold has, but it is a precious metal. And I regard platinum as a hard currency. And I think a lot of people who are bullish of gold will also, excuse me, add some platinum, saying that if you think gold's going to go up, then platinum really is probably resting in the cradle of a pendulum here, pulled all the way back to release point. And once, you know, you put gold up $100 from here, and platinum will outperform it, in my view. Platinum at times over the last decade has sold at a price twice that of gold. Now, I don't expect that to happen, but all it would take would be some sort of supply disruption coming from South Africa, either due to another power outage that's happened before, and the price of platinum spiked. Two, could be a strike, could be mine closures. So I think being short platinum is pretty dangerous at this level, and I would not be surprised to see a squeeze on that price over the next few months. So I've reopened my platinum position. I also hold some gold and silver, but I'm not heavily long because I'm doing this in futures, and it's been easy to get whipsawed in these markets. Okay, what else to mention? This grain and bean complex again. This big move here today in soybeans. This really is a problem, and it does mean that we're going to see higher food prices. It's not as serious as a spike in rice prices, but it will certainly affect China. And these growth economies, emerging markets, inflation, food price inflation is a particularly sensitive issue in those countries because a higher proportion of incomes is directed towards food. So we're going to have a bit of a challenging environment here overall for a while longer. We're a long way from Goldilocks, aren't we? But then again, it could be a whole lot worse. And I'll repeat once again that figure on S&P dividends. You know, $275 billion paid out. That's certainly one reason why we like the dividend aristocrat type shares, and it's not just in the United States. I mean, dividend aristocrats all over the world continue to nudge their dividends higher on an annual basis. And despite good performance in that sector, quite a few attractive yields remain. And on that note, all the best to all of you.